Morning. Okay. Let's pray first. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and we just ask as we go into your word, may you speak, Lord, open up our hearts and our ears and our minds to receive what you have to say. As we come before you to worship and pray, Lord, for our church, God, for our body, Holy Spirit, may you speak through us, God. May you pray the things that are on your heart, Lord. And at the same time, Father, may you build us up too, God. As we pray, may we come to realize more and more of your love for us. In your name we pray, amen. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and we'll read from verses 1 to 19. Pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries. But one who prophesies speaks to men for edification and exhortation and consolation. One who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but one who prophesies edifies the church. Now I wish that you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you would prophesy. And greater is one who prophesies than one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets, so that the church may receive edifying. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking in tongues, what will I profit you unless I speak to you either by way of revelation or of knowledge or of prophecy or of teaching? Yet even lifeless things, either flute or harp, and producing a sound, if they do not produce a distinction in the tones, how will it be known what is played on the flute or on the harp? For if the bugle produces an indistinct sound, who will prepare himself for battle? So also you, unless you utter by the tongue speech that is clear, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are perhaps a great many kinds of languages in the world, and no kind is without meaning. If then I do not know the meaning of the language, I will be to the one who speaks a barbarian, and the one who speaks will be a barbarian to me. So also you, since you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek to abound for the edification of the church. Therefore, let one who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What is the outcome then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the mind also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with mind also. Otherwise, if you bless in the spirit only, how will the one who fills the place of the ungifted say the amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not know what you are saying? For you are giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not edified. I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. However, in the church I desire to speak 5 words with my mind so that I may instruct others also, rather than 10,000 words in a tongue. Amen. Okay, so the entirety of chapter 12 to 14, what Paul is doing here is he's addressing one of the issues of the Corinthian church that has become quite a pretty big issue, and it's this idea of spiritual, it's not the idea, but it's how the Corinthians are using spiritual gifts, or more appropriately put, how they are misusing spiritual gifts. And if you can imagine, with a lot of issues that in the world today, we either swing one way or the other way on the pendulum, so to speak. And so what Paul is trying to do is he's really trying to not do what we as humans tend to do, where we see the pendulum swing one way on an issue and we kind of overcorrect or overreact and the pendulum swings the other way. And so what he's trying to do is bring the Corinthian church into kind of the radical middle. And so in chapter 12, beginning in chapter 12, he's telling the entire church that there are no particular gifts that are favored, that God has given each one of these gifts, and that they're all a gift from God. And so you shouldn't be favoring one gift over the other, whether it's gift of healing, gift of prophecy, gift of tongues, whatever it is, they're all gifts of the Spirit, and they're all valuable to the church. And in chapter 13, he says, but at the end of the day, all these gifts doesn't really matter, because when Jesus returns, you won't need these gifts anymore, because these gifts help the church seek out God and to understand God and to know what God is like and to build up the church. But when Jesus returns, the perfect comes, the church will be complete. And so you don't need any of these gifts anymore. And so he's trying to reorient them to this, like, don't overreact either one way or the other. Don't elevate these gifts. Don't underappreciate these gifts. No, stay in the middle. And in 13, you see him kind of saying this, where if I speak with tongues of men and of angels, you know, but do not have love, I've become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And so what Paul is saying, like, you need to exercise these gifts in love, and that's how you will remain in the middle. Okay? Pursue love. Yet at the same time, right, don't discount these gifts. And so he's really constantly emphasizing, be very balanced in how you operate in these gifts. Pursue love, yet earnestly desire, earnestly spiritual gifts. And gifts are good. And here he begins to talk about more about tongues. It's interesting that most of what we know about tongues through the Bible is we learn it through an address that Paul tells the Corinthian church in how not to operate in the spiritual gift. It's interesting to see how Paul actually doesn't say, okay, this is what tongues is. You know, is it an actual language? Is it just, you know, speaking in your prayer language? He doesn't really explicitly say, but this is what we know of tongues. Aside from, you know, our own personal experience, this is kind of one of the main passages where we learn about tongues in the Bible. So we don't really learn too much about, you know, how you receive the gift of tongues. I mean, you learn from Acts, but, you know, is it a discernible language? Like, if I all of a sudden bust it out in Spanish, is that what tongues is? Yes, right? But if, you know, someone's praying in their own personal prayer language, is that what tongues is? And there's all this debate, but there's not too much in the Bible that tells us, which is, you know, unfortunate. But I think from what Paul is writing here, we can gain some insight into what tongues is. So, you know, if you want to know, I'm only going to go over briefly, but if you want to know more about tongues, PSAM spoke about tongues 2 months ago on Sunday, so you can go into that sermon on Sunday and find out more. But basically here, you have this idea where there's two types of tongues. There's a personal prayer language where someone's praying in tongues. They're praying from the Spirit. As Paul writes in verse 14, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful." And so you can interpret this as, you know, your spirit is praying. So, you know, if, for example, tongues can sound like shabba-da-da-da-da, like something like that. And so you're praying in the Spirit, and you are praying to God, or your spirit is praying to God. And what that does is it edifies your own self. Right? And then there's the other kind of tongues, where this public display of tongues, which you see in Acts, where people all of a sudden speak in known languages, or they are able to be, people understand what they're saying. For example, so if I start speaking in Spanish. And what Paul is saying here is, it's great that you are speaking in tongues, but if you're doing this in the middle of Sunday service, he'll actually address this later in chapter 14, but he's telling the Corinthian church, it's great that everyone speaks in tongues, but if you're doing this in the middle of Sunday service and no one understands, there isn't a point to it. Because, yeah, you're edifying yourself, but this whole idea of doing church isn't to edify yourself. And we see this throughout the whole entirety of Corinthians, where Paul is consistently emphasizing this idea of unity, that you need to build each other up. You need to do everything in love. You need to stop elevating yourself, your status, your wealth, and you need to start elevating other people. You need to build each other up. So if you're speaking in tongues and no one understands, if there is no interpreter, there's no point. Because people will look at you and be like, what are you saying? I don't understand you. You are like a barbarian to me. Like, we don't, I mean, for myself, I don't go to a local Chinese church because I don't understand what they're saying. Or I can understand very little. Or if I watch the news in Hong Kong, I shouldn't bother because I don't understand what they're saying. And so Paul is saying the same thing. It doesn't matter. It doesn't build you up. So really what you guys should be doing is seeking the gift of prophecy. In verse 5, Paul writes, "And I wish that you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you would prophesy. And greater is one who prophesies than one who speaks in tongues." This is my own personal take on what Paul is saying. I don't think Paul is saying that prophecy is greater than the gift of tongues in terms of spiritual gifts. Because Paul writes that all gifts are given by God. And he gives these gifts to edify his body. And so it's very difficult to say, and this is in chapter 12, it's very difficult to say that, you know, prophecy is better than tongues. I think what he means in this context when he says greater is the one who prophesies, he's specifically addressing the church in Corinth. And he's saying, for you guys, you think that tongues is the end all and be all of spiritual gifts, that this is the best gift. And Paul's saying, no, no, greater is the one who prophesies because he is the one that builds up the body of Christ. And I think he's more specifically addressing the situation in Corinth as opposed to giving a primer or a general rule of thumb for spiritual gifts for all Christians. Because tongues can really edify, whether it's your own personal prayer language or whether it's someone that comes in, speaks, like, I'm just going to go with Spanish because that's the first thing that popped up in my mind this morning, and someone interprets. Right? What if... No, I won't go there. But basically, Paul, he's saying, guys, don't elevate tongues because that's what the church in Corinth was doing. They were busting out, and we'll see later in chapter 14, they were busting out in tongues in the middle of service, and they were disrupting service. And Paul's saying, this isn't good for the church because you're really just edifying yourself. Not only are you just edifying yourself, you're putting yourself above others for the sake of your stature, and you're saying, look at this gift that I have. And as we've seen throughout the entirety of Corinthians, Paul is saying, don't do that. Because what you should be doing with your spiritual gift, he says in verse 12, is to seek to abound for the edification of the church. See, prophecy, people will actually understand what you're saying. Is to build up the church. And that's what we should be doing. And so we see Paul not discounting tongues, but he's saying to the Corinthian church, you need to reevaluate how you've been utilizing this gift. Don't think of it as this is what everyone should have and pity the person that doesn't have it. Right? But really, make your language known. Make your language known so that people are edified. Make your language known so that people will be encouraged, right? They'll be exhorted and they'll be consoled by your speech, by your prophetic word. And Paul gives the example that, you know, he speaks in tongues more than anyone else. But for him, he would rather speak five words with his mind, meaning in plain language that people will understand, as opposed to speaking 10,000 words in a tongue that no one can understand. And Paul is not short of words. I mean, you read his letters. He's very eloquent. He's very, he has so much to say. But for him, he's like, I'd rather just give five words if you would understand it. One last thing that came up to me as I was reading through this passage, I think a lot of times we kind of use spiritual reasons as kind of like the trump card in our arsenal. Whether, you know, say, I'm debating with Cora about certain things, and she goes, well, you know, I used this one time. We were talking about something, and I said, well, I hear from God that, you know, I feel like God is saying we should do this. And so you should listen to me because I heard from God, right? I think what Paul is saying here in this, especially in the latter half of the passage, kind of warns against that kind of behavior. Because a lot of people in Corinthians or in the Corinthian church were using tongues and be like, yeah, you know, the spiritual is good. You should listen to the spiritual. But Paul is saying, You know, having the spiritual is good, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. Like, you can use, or there is something to be said about spiritual authority. But then Paul also says, what is the outcome then? I will pray with the Spirit, right? I will pray, you know, I will rely on this spiritual connection I have with God. But at the same time, he goes, I will pray with my mind also. I will also use my mind to pray. See, it's not just this always relying on the spiritual. It's also thinking through certain situations. It's using the wisdom that God has given you, you know, your intellect to think through these things. Now, this connection, I don't know. This is something that, you know, I felt like applied, but yeah, in that situation with my wife, I learned that it's not always just relying on, I feel like God is saying this to me, right? But it's also using what God has given me, my intellect, you know, my wisdom, experiences that he has taught me in the past, relying on my wife. Say, hey, you know, Corey, do you sense this from God as well? As opposed to just saying like, nope, this is it. I heard from God. I'm the spiritual leader of this house. That's it. You must listen to me. Right? It's not just always using the spiritual as your trump card. Because in that way, that's kind of what the Corinthians were doing. It's like, I got this gift. I have this spiritual power. I am better than you. Right? And it goes to this whole idea of seeking the radical middle. You know, yeah, we have the spiritual, but we also have the natural that God has given to us. And so, you know, for us, in our lives, it's, I have to be careful here. It's not to say you cannot rely on the spiritual, right? But it's to say that you cannot discount the experiences that you have. See, it's that radical middle. You can't just rely on experiences, what God has done in the past. And so what God has done in the past, this is how he's going to operate. And so, you know, God did this for me in the past, he'll do this for me in the future. But it's to combine the both of them, the spiritual and the natural, and to pray through these things and to let God speak to you as well. I don't know if that last point really made any sense, but anyways, I'm going to ask Bea to come up and to lead us into worship. Yeah, as we worship today, yeah, I just want us to think and ask Holy Spirit in our lives, you know, whether we think we are prophetic or not, you know, are we using our gifts? Are we using our spiritual gifts, our natural gifts, our talents? Are we using them to build up the church? Because whether you recognize it or not, you all have spiritual gifts. Whether you will admit it or not, you are spiritually gifted. And all these spiritual gifts are used to build up the church. And so let Holy Spirit speak to you. Ask him. Actually, this morning, ask him, God, how can I build up your body? And don't think of, you know, how can I, you know, what is my spiritual gift or this and that. Just ask Holy Spirit, how can I build up my body? How can I build up your body, rather, the body of Christ? And you know, just ask him whether it's to sit with someone at church on Sunday after service and to pray for them. Or to, you know, one thing I've been doing with my welcomers before we start service is to just to quiet ourselves down and just to ask Holy Spirit to reveal someone to us. A friend from church, whoever, just to reveal someone to us that particular day and ask, how can I serve this person? Because in that way, you get to build up, you get to edify this person. You get to encourage them, pray for them. You might not think that your prayer has, you know, much effect, but why else do you pray? Your prayer, your words have so much effect on people. And so just ask Holy Spirit, you know, reveal someone to you and reveal how you can encourage this person. God, we just pray, Lord, that you reveal to us people in our lives, God, that we can edify, that we can exhort, that we can console. And just as I pray, it's, you know, I get this sense that it really isn't about, you know, what is our spiritual gift? How can we best utilize this gift? But it's more about just getting out there and stepping out and saying yes, even in situations or in ways that we might not think, you know, are gifting. And so, Holy Spirit, just guide us and lead us. Use us in whatever way you want, God. Use us in our giftings, God. Use us in our natural gifts and spiritual gifts, Father, to bless those around us, God. For that is why we are here, Lord. We have been blessed so that we can be a blessing to others. So, Lord, may our lives reflect that, God. And may we just shine your light to those around us and to the world around us. Turning to your community prayer focus, let's pray for those in our community who have cancer and undergoing chemo, radiation therapy, and other surgeries. Let's pray for those who are sick and yet have to receive the word of Christ. Let's pray for friends and family who are praying for their friends and family. Let's pray that God gives them encouragement, gives them strength, that God edifies them during this time. Let's also lift up those in our church that are sick with various infirmities. Let's pray for God's healing hand over them. Lift up those who are looking for jobs. Let's pray for God to open up doors and opportunities for them.
Let's lift up our church plants that we have across the world. SP Singapore, SP Indonesia, and SP New York. Pray for our education departments. Pray for all the students and teachers in Noah's Ark, the youth group, and the college group. Pray for our prayer and healing ministries, the IP, well, and the river. Lift up SP Lights and Homie Outreach. Let's pray for God's protection and covering, not just over these teams, but the families and the people that they reach out to. Finally, let's pray for our house churches that are tonight, that are on tonight, East Bay, Olympic, and Westville. Let's pray for just good times of fellowship and of meeting the Lord together tonight. Thank you, God, for your word today. We thank you for this time of prayer. Father, As we go about our days, Father, may you remind us, Holy Spirit, speak to us about who we can edify, God, about who we can bless, God, about how who we can encourage, whether it's just by a quick word or prayer, or even asking them how they're doing. God, just give us that that push, Lord, that reminder in our hearts, God, that we've been blessed, God, by you. We've been blessed so much by you, God, and that blessing should overflow out of our lives unto the others, God. So help us walk in that, Lord. Help us operate that way, Lord. Help us utilize our spiritual gifts, God, mightily for you. So we thank you. We pray these things in your Son's most precious name. Amen. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time.